Let's go watch it in 2D. No, let's go watch it in 3D. But if we watch it in 3D, then is it worth the cost?
You're an interesting man, Mr. Scamander. Just like your suitcase, I think there's much more to you than meets the eye. Kicked out of Hogwarts for endangering human life with a beast. Yet one of your teachers argued strongly against your expulsion. I wonder, what makes Albus Dumbledore so fond of you, Mr. Scamander?
Hello, hello, hello. This is Adolf Vega from 3D or 2D.com, and today I'm reviewing Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them. As always, I'll talk about the 3D element first. So, the movie uses stereoscopic 3D in mostly gimmicky way, and it's fun. I liked it. The movie looks sharp and nice in 3D, and the computer graphic creatures really seem to benefit from the 3D the most. It gives the creatures a good depth of field, and it makes them seem more realistic, and you kind of flesh out how they look visually more with the 3D, where I think having it to be in 2D, they wouldn't register as well with the eye. I also think that the movie really plays with the 3D and is really active in throwing things at the screen, and things are flying out, and the creatures are really there to make the 3D pop. And pop 3D is a main aspect of this movie. It does have a decent amount of depth 3D, where you see multiple layers and multiple scenes you could, you know, see into this movie. And overall, I did find this movie enjoyable, more enjoyable, in fact, with the 3D. And in fact, it actually made me wake up toward the end of the movie. I started to fall asleep, which is an indication of how much I like this movie. And the 3D with things flying out at you kind of helped me wake up a little bit, you know, and sometimes they like to play with the aspect ratio and things are flying out and above the screen, and it really makes a nice effect, and it looks good, and I really can recommend it, and people that go see it, I think they'll find their money's worth here. So overall, I would give this a final verdict of great 3D. Now, onto the movie itself. So, Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them is a prequel to the popular Harry Potter franchise, and is set nearly 70 years before the events of the first Harry Potter movie. This movie actually is based on a magical encyclopedia of the beasts from the Harry Potter universe, and is actually written by the same writer of Harry Potter, J.K. Rowling. So, this movie is a standalone prequel to all those other Harry Potter movies, and the connections to the Harry Potter movies are relatively minor. If you've never seen a Harry Potter movie, you could watch this movie, but I think even if you've seen all the Harry Potter movies, you'll probably still be lost, which is probably the biggest aspect of this movie that I did not enjoy. The movie is set in the New York City 1920s and begins with a collection of newspapers flying toward the audience. You know, looks pretty good. Usually this trope of flying newspapers with headlines explaining story elements, you know, it's not really used in modern movies. It's used more in old-timey movies. You know, this kind of trope has gone out of style. And, you know, obviously this movie is set in the 1920s, so it does work. The problem is these newspapers in the Harry Potter universe are very busy. And there's a lot of text that changes, a lot of minor headlines, a lot of pictures that wiggle, and GIFs and GIFs and videos. And it's very busy. So, you know, this trope of throwing newspapers at you and you read the first, you know, headline, it fails because there's so many things going on. Your eye is so easily distracted, at least for me, and I really wasn't paying attention. I read the headline, but there's so many things going on screen. There's so many, you know, I just want to pause the screen and see what everything is on here because there's so much thrown information at you. And this is not a good way to start a movie. You know, you might want to do one or two of these, and that's it. And they go on it for a few minutes, and I was really lost because there's so much data thrown at you, and it's not just one headline. It's multiple headlines, multiple subsections. It's actual newspaper, and it's just kind of confusing, and it's not a good way to start this movie. So I get what they're trying to do. I really do. But the main problem is, I think this way of having exposition and to give the audience some details before they watch the actual movie, it just doesn't work. And I really feel this movie fails, completely, utterly fails at having a proper introduction. And the story kind of just throws you into the deep end and forgets to tell you even the characters, the main character's first name until like halfway through the movie. And I was like, come on, really? Give me a proper introduction here. This is a prequel. This is the first movie in a series. You have to introduce these characters, this scenario. Give me much more information than it did. And I really felt lost. And, you know, I really enjoy the Harry Potter movies. And I've seen them all. And I still felt very lost. And to the point where I just didn't care anymore. I just didn't care what was happening on screen because I don't know what's going on because I don't know who these characters are because they didn't get introduced. You just assume you're supposed to know who this person is. And at times, I felt like I was walking into this movie like this is the second movie in a trilogy and I didn't watch the first one. And this is not the second movie. This is the first movie of a 7-movie series. And it's ridiculous, ridiculous that they don't have a proper introduction. And it is such a massive issue with this movie that I, you know, usually don't care about the introduction. You know, it's nice, you get some information you need, and you move on. And this kind of just don't care. They just, okay, here's his characters here. And I really feel like the first 30 minutes of this movie were just cut off. And it just does not do a good job of giving you enough backstory. The plot of this movie is around Newt Scamander, or Scamander, who travels to New York and has a mishap with a briefcase who's full of magical creatures. Some of these magical creatures escape and he must recover them in New York, and during this time New York is actually being ravaged by other magical entities, so he picks a bad time for this to happen. And these magical creatures are attacking humans, and human, you know, are not supposed to know about magic. So it's, you know, magic, the witches, the wizards, the community of witches and wizards do not want humans to know about their world. So their livelihood is at stake where, you know, these creatures are making things really bad for witches and wizards. And that's basically the entire thesis of this movie. Now, Newt, he runs into a human called Jacob Kowalski, and, you know, he just happens to be at the wrong place at the wrong time, and it just works out that they, you know, he has him in the story. And there's another character named Tina Goldstein, who's kind of like a magical police officer, and befriends Newt and Jacob. Queenie is the younger sister of Tina, and has ability to read minds, and, you know, this small collection of characters I found really enjoyable and well-acted. The cast, unfortunately, continues to expand, and it becomes a ridiculously huge number, and I just stop caring. I just, it's like, who is this person? What is going on? What's their connection to this person? I just don't know. It's just too many people. You don't need to throw in 50 people in the movie. Just keep it simple. You know, just have what you need. This main cast I really like, but the supporting cast is just too huge to care about. So on a technical level, the special effects of this movie are really well done and really benefit the movie. Obviously, the movie's title is Fantastic Beasts, and there's plenty of them in this movie. But the sad aspect is a lot of these fantastical beasts are almost exclusively computer generated and just seemed too artificial on screen. Many times I questioned the authenticity of the performances of the actors who were interacting with these creatures. Which is a bad thing. You shouldn't be questioning if that creature is really there or not. It's slightly out of sync, and you could kind of tell that they weren't really there. But obviously this could have been really easily fixed if they used some, makeup and prosthetics and actual, creature design, not have it all rely on computer graphics. So it does kind of throw off the movie a little bit by having it all be in computer graphics. Now, where the movie actually does succeed is with the charm and humor. The main cast, which is Newt, Jacob, Tina, and Queenie, all have great chemistry together, and it's really delightful to watch them interact on screen, even though I barely know anything about them. During this many moments of this movie, I laughed out loud and was really enjoying myself, even if I was lost. The humor is silly and family-friendly, and it really works well. One creature in particular called the Niffler, I found extremely charming and funny. This little creature is mischievous and loves shiny objects and is a huge thief and is both literally and figuratively steals each scene he's in. I really liked the little creature. And I think when it does this, it focuses on a few things, it works really well. The problem is there's so many things going on. There's a whole other subplot with a kid and, the situation he's living in with, and people are afraid of witches and witchcraft and there's a society of wizards. It's just too much going on here. It just ultimately it's an enjoyable movie, Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them. I enjoyed it, but it had so many flaws. I fell asleep toward the last third of the movie because I just stopped caring. There's just too many things going on, too many characters, and I just don't care anymore. And like I said before, with the 3D element, if the 3D wasn't there, I might have fallen asleep. And that's one of the worst sins that a movie can do. Now, the charm and humor overall make it better than it should, but it really feels too bloated with characters, and it's just not interested in setting up its own narrative, and it seems like it's a big sequel-heavy movie where, oh, we're just setting up all these other movies in the future. And it's like, wait, what about setting up this movie? What about giving me insight to why these characters are the way they are? You get such very little backstory and introduction. It ruins the movie. And I so wanted to enjoy this movie. There are many points of this movie where I was so happy and this is fun and it's enjoyable and I really like it. And other parts, I just stopped caring. And ultimately, I liked it, but I didn't love it. And that's the problem. I really wish they just try to keep a simple story and not try to make it too epic. And this movie feels like they got a really simple story and just blew it up to make it an epic story, and it just didn't fit. I guess it's a southern term, but it's not big enough for its britches. And it tries too hard. And I do like it. I just wish I loved it. It has its components here. The great, the main cast I really like. The creatures work, and it has a fun, whimsical style, and I like it. I just wish it was better. And again, I have to knock it for not having proper introduction. Those newspapers flying at you is not good enough. I'm sorry. And it really should have. It really feels like this movie is based on a book, and the book is, 10,000 pages long, and, this movie is an hour long, 2-hour version of the 10,000-hour book, and it really isn't. It's actually the reverse. It's, Bestiary Encyclopedia of Animals is not that long. It's like maybe an inch thick when you actually get it, and it doesn't really have a plot. So everything in this movie really has to be explored within the movie, and it fails. to introduce characters, scenario, and it's just unfortunate. Now, you know, if you've never seen a Harry Potter movie, I think you don't need to see this movie. If you have seen the Harry Potter movies, I think you'd be interested, but I still feel like you'll be lost. Either way, I don't think it's a great movie. I think it's a good movie. I still liked it. And, you know, the final verdict is going to be a 6 out of 10. I wish I would have liked it more. I wish it was better. And it's not. So that's going to be it for my review. Thank you for listening. Bye.
First trip to America?
Yes.
Anything edible in there?
No.
Any livestock?
No.
Welcome to New York.
Alright, so that's going to wrap up this podcast.
Remember to like, comment, favorite, subscribe, love, whatever. Heart it, be something.
3D or 2D.com can be found on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher Radio, and SoundCloud. And if you want to send us email, our email address is email3dor2d@gmail.com. And thank you again for listening. Bye.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye, everyone.